Good to see all of you this evening, and looking forward to a good night of worship. Not too much as far as announcements, just encourage you to come on Wednesday nights. We'll be having a series on our Constitution and proposing some changes there. So I encourage, if you're a member especially, to come out on Wednesday nights. But other than that, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we can go into our song service. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here tonight, and we truly are thankful for all that you've done in our lives. We do pray that you'd help us even this evening to direct our focus upon you, because you are so great and so loving, and you have done so much in our lives. And we do pray that you'd help us even to learn from your word. I pray that you'd help us to desire to even make some changes in our life if necessary. So we do even thank you for bringing each one here tonight. I pray that you'd help those who are not physically able to be here, those who are struggling with health or with other difficulties. And we do thank you that you are a God who cares. And thank you that you are the great physician. And so just thank you for bringing us here. And we thank you for your goodness. So we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's begin this evening by singing number 51. Starting out tonight, have a seat, and let's turn to 87. Number 87, may Jesus Christ be praised. Let's sing the first, second, third, and then the sixth stanza. 1, 2, 3, and 6.
Thank you.
297. Did we all get our afternoon nap in today? No? Is that what's going on? Did you, Verva?
Yeah.
You did, okay. So I hear Verva over here. I love to tell the story. 297. Sing it as if you truly do, as I trust you do. Let's sing.
I love to tell the story of hearts and things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know it is true. It's
story. Common theme here between these two songs, the story of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. So let's sing the wondrous story.
Thank you.
It is still Kamor me. Now, when you get saved, when Christ becomes your Savior, does that make every single day you live just absolutely wonderful? I hear yeses and noes. What's the truth of the matter? Well, the answer is yes. They both happen. It's true that every day we have with Christ, we are free and forgiven, but at the same time, as they say, stuff happens. And trials come. I think we can all attest to that. But then it goes on, Sour's path I often tread, but the Savior still is with me. By His hand I'm safely led. Even despite these things. I was thinking about this the other day. The fact that when we become saved, when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, that does not automatically mean that everything is wonderful. Now, in a sense it is. We are free and forgiven. We have eternal life. But in the meantime, He doesn't promise to take away all of the trials that come, whether it be financial or spiritual or tangible or relatives, family members, the constant struggles of this life. But He promises to be there with us, and that in those things He's using to conform us all the more into His image if we're willing to be content with what He has for us. All right, let's sing the last verse. Verse 4, He will keep me until the river rolls. Much time, and I know that there are songs that have not been sung recently that you would like to have sung or sing yourselves. I mean, I wouldn't want you to pick them and just listen. So if anybody can 405, let's sing 405. My faith has found a resting place.
Thank you.
As you were foregoing your nap this afternoon, you weren't thinking you had to church, thinking, oh, I wish I sang that song tonight.
How about the one where right across from it, 404?
Right across from it, the Solid Rock? That is a good, solid song. You should sing it. That was just a little corny, I'm sorry. Go ahead, let's sing the Solid Rock. Resting solely on Jesus Christ, who is our resting place and our solid rock. I'm thinking to myself as we sing this, and all the things that I trust in every day. I think to myself, if I just had this amount of money in the checking account, then I'd be safe, I'll be secure, and Lester's already laughing at me. Or I think to myself, you know, I have, just as long as I have cars that are running well, then I'll be safe and secure, and Lester can laugh again because he's a mechanic. I'm thinking to myself, all these things that I have that I'm trusting in every day, but you know what? At any moment, the tire could go flat, Lester, or something, and then the same day I have to pay for the tire then, and then both my checking account and my car is gone, and I don't have what I've been trusting in anymore, but in Christ. He's never let you down. How many times have you ever found Christ to let you down in anything? And then thinking about on the backside, looking back, how many times have you found Him faithful in the end of it, if you trusted Him? It's pretty incredible. And then I think to myself, well, why didn't I thank Him when He brought me through that so well? And then maybe I should take some time to do that, to thank Him for what He's done. So let's sing these last couple of verses. His oath is covenant, His blood. Support me in the whelming flood. And then verse 4, when He shall come with trumpet sounds. Let's sing that fourth verse. Finish up tonight with 477. 477. And since we're singing stand up for Jesus, let's do just that. And don't forget to do it for Jesus part. so glad you sang so well. So go ahead and have a seat.
Amen. It's wonderful to sing those hymns, isn't it? And the truth that is within those hymns is just precious, isn't it? And music has a special ability, really, to play through your head, doesn't it? And the words, you go right along with that. And oftentimes, whenever you wake up in the morning, I don't know if it happens with you, but with me, a lot of times the first thing that pops into my head whenever I wake up is a song. And hopefully it's good, godly, edifying songs that pop into your mind and not something else that you heard on the radio or whatever the case may be. But what a blessing it is to sing those songs of praise to the Lord. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you even for the time that we just had singing songs of praise to you. We do recognize that you alone are worthy of our praise. We do recognize that we do want to give you the glory. I pray that we'd even be lifting up your name even right now as we look into your word and help us to realize who you are and just have a greater appreciation for your greatness and for your love toward us. So we do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this past Monday was what special day? It was Memorial Day, wasn't it? And Memorial Day is the unofficial start of what season? It's the unofficial start of summer, right? And what do you think of whenever you think of summertime? I'm sure you think of all different times. You think of the heat, and you think of sweat. Do you think of firing up the grill? Is that something you enjoy doing? You think of ice cream? Ice cream is good, isn't it? Or do you think of all of the pleasures, the swimming pool, or taking bike rides, or going for walks, or do you think more on the pessimistic side? Do you think of the mosquitoes, and do you think of the heat, like Leon said, the heat and the sweat? Do you think of having to turn on the air conditioner? What do you say, Bob? The tomatoes. That's a good thing. Yep, think of those nice tomatoes, and it's always a blessing to see those big ripe tomatoes and to eat those. All types of wonderful things. So there's the positive things we can think about. The negative things we can think about too. There's so many things that go right along with summer. I enjoy being outside. And I wouldn't really call myself an outdoorsman, but I do enjoy being outside. And one of the things that I enjoy doing while I'm outside, especially if I'm taking a walk through the park or taking a hike, whatever the case may be, I like to take my camera with me. And a lot of times I find myself taking pictures of God's creation. And a lot of times I'm not with a big group of people, so I don't have a lot of people pictures, but yet taking pictures of God's creation, whether it be butterflies or flowers or beautiful sunset or any number of things. It's just amazing, God's creation, isn't it? And just the beauty of it. We truly are blessed that God has given to us this world to enjoy. What a blessing that is. And as we think about this, we take it for granted. We think, we recognize this is God that has given this to us. But think of all those in this world that think about, well, whenever they look at that flower, they look at whatever God has created, and they think, well, this evolved through a process of chance, and genetic mutations, and just the end result of just a... really, millions of years of evolution. And really, to think that, it really takes all of the wonder out of creation, doesn't it? It's sad to see the world, and they fail to recognize the glory of God in His creation. And instead, they look to their own foolish intellects, their own reasons, as far as explaining what they see in this world. But praise the Lord, if you know Jesus Christ today, He has saved us from that foolish way of thinking, from that darkened mind, and He has opened our eyes. And He has opened our eyes to appreciate not only the things that He has created, but ultimately He has opened our eyes to appreciate the Creator, to appreciate and enjoy Himself. Amen. We all experience the wonder of God's creation on a daily basis. And all too often, I think, and I am subject to this as well, we get busy with I have to go here. We have these things on our minds. I have to do this and this and this and that. And oftentimes, we're walking and we're surrounded by the beauty of God's creation. And it just seems like we don't even pay attention to it anymore. Because we're so consumed with all of these other things that we have to do. I would encourage you this evening to take time out and to ponder the beauty of God's creation and to recognize it and just to meditate upon the God who has given us all these things to enjoy. Let God and His creation never grow old hat or never grow just normal in our lives. May the wonder of God, the wonder of His wonderful works be renewed in our hearts daily. And there's so many passages in the Scripture, and we're going to take a look at a few of them this evening. The wonder of God's creation and the praise that we should be giving God as a result. Let's go to Psalm 19 first of all. Psalm 19 and verses 1 through 6. Psalm 19 and verses 1 through 6. And this is a fairly familiar passage, but how true it is. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6, and it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through the whole earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of the heaven, and its circuit to the other end. And there is nothing hidden from its heat." So no matter who you are, no matter where you live, you can look up and see the heavens. And you can see the glory of God expressed in those heavens. We can see the moon and the stars and the planets during the evenings and how beautiful those things are. And there isn't a human on this earth that can't look up and see those things. And deep down in their heart, they recognize there is a God that has created those things. That is something that really, I think, is given to each and every one of us to recognize the wonderful works of God. There's not a day that passes by that, even though in the daytime we don't see the sun and the moon and the stars, we still do see one star, don't we? And it's amazing to think about the sun and how important that sun is. Without the sun, where would we be at? Without the sun, we'd just be a frozen ice cube, wouldn't we? And the sun truly is another thing that gives glory to God. Because, you know, we can count on the sun every single day, can't we? We can count that it's going to be coming up in the east, and it's going to make its circuit, even as the psalmist says, and to go down in the western horizon. And it just keeps on, every single day, faithfully, rising in the east, setting in the west. Praise the Lord for that. It's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Nothing hidden from its heat. And so as we contemplate this universe and all of its vastness, we truly stand in awe. We stand in wonder. And we recognize, if we really keep things in proportion, we think, well, yes, rightfully so, we're so small. We're so small when compared with the sun and the moon and the universe. We're so small. But yet, even though we seem so small in the entire scope of things, we can just marvel in the fact that it is the same God that made us, has made the heavens. And as we look at the Genesis account of creation, we recognize that whenever God made the sun and the moon and the stars, He made them for us. He had us in mind. Because what do the sun and the moon and the stars do for us? They are for us for days and for seasons and for years and signs. And so whenever we look at the glory of God's creation, the sun and the moon and the stars and all of those things, we shouldn't be thinking that we have a God that is too big to care. We shouldn't be thinking like that. No, we should be marveling that God made all of this for our benefit. He made all of this so that ultimately we could give Him praise and glory for His greatness and His love toward us. We need to be praising Him and worshiping Him because of all these things. We go to Psalm 8, the 8th Psalm. And this, once again, is another incredible psalm. And it says here, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Your name in all the earth, who have set Your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants You have ordained strength because of Your enemies, that You may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider Your heavens, the work of Your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. We saw earlier in Psalm 19, how did God describe it as far as the creation? It is the work of God's hands. Here in Psalm 8, the heavens are called what? The work of God's fingers. When you think about that, your fingers. And we think of this universe and it's so huge and it's so vast, but yet God, figuratively speaking, used his fingers to make the universe. And so how intricately involved that is. All of the stars, and it all is put in motion. It all is, it works amazingly. All too often, as a human race as a whole, we think of ourselves as someone that is pretty big, don't we? We think that we're pretty important. You go back in ancient times, and you think of the Tower of Babel. Humanity thought, they're doing a great thing. We're going to build this tower, even to the height of the heaven. You think of the pyramids. And truly, that was an amazing feat, architectural feat, building those pyramids. Even today, we think of the skyscrapers. We think of releasing the power of nuclear energy. And we think, wow, we're pretty good. We can do great things. But yet, what is that in comparison to the works of God's hands, the works of his fingers? What is nuclear power, what we can do with it, in comparison to the power of the sun? And the sun is just one star among millions. And the sun, even though it's a small star, it's so much more powerful than anything that we can possibly do in our human abilities. We need to have a reverent awe for who our God is and his power. And whenever we look at the sun and we look at this universe, we need to recognize our God is great. And in comparison, we are nothing. But yet, God has taken special notice of us. Even though we're relatively small and powerless in His sight, He still has given us a wonderful and a prominent place in His creation. Because what has He done? Even as we see in Psalm 8, you have made Him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put Him, put all things under His feet. And so God has really entrusted us with the care of His creation, His earthly creation here. And even though Adam decided to rebel against God, God still decided to work with the human race. And God decided ultimately to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us and to redeem us from our sins. We go to Psalm 33. We go to Psalm 33, verses 6 through 11. We saw earlier the work of God. It's called the work of His hands, the work of His fingers. Here in Psalm 33, we read in verse 6, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart to all generations." And so here, the Lord is described as speaking, and it comes to pass. And we read that in Genesis. That is what happened. The Lord spoke the word, and there it was. And in Psalm, in the Psalm here, we read, "Yes, it is by the breath of His mouth." And God does whatever He wants with His creation. He is all powerful. He is the one that is in control of the oceans. He is the one that is in control of the hurricanes and the tsunamis. He is the one that shakes the earth. And then there are earthquakes. But even in spite of all of these wonderful things that God does, in spite of all these awe-inspiring works of His hands, what does sinful man do in response to all of these things? They live as if there is no God. They turn their back on the revelation that God has given to them, and they do things their own way. They make for themselves idols. They prop up for themselves their own gods that they wish to follow. But even though the nations are rebelling against God, ultimately God is going to have the final say. He is in control. Turn on over to Psalm 148 with me. Psalm 148. The Lord is in control. He is almighty and He has chosen to love us, His creation. We come to Psalm 148, and all creation is called upon to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you stars of light. Praise Him, you heaven of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all the depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling His word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, both old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven, and He has exalted the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints, of the children of Israel, people near to Him, praise the Lord. And so no matter who you are, no matter what you are, ultimately you have been created to do what? You've been created to give praise to the name of the Lord. So even if you're a rock sitting out in the parking lot, even if you're a little piece of gravel, even if you're a little blade of grass, even if you're a tree or a stream, God created those things to give glory and praise to His name. And even though they can't say anything with their mouths, they still can give praise to the name of the Lord. They lift up His name by doing what He has ordained them to do. The animals, all of the animals, whether the birds or the cattle or the fish or the cats or whatever they are, they can praise the Lord in their own way. It's kind of funny. I think of a song, and it's kind of a goofy song. Jeremiah was a bullfrog, okay? Was a good friend of mine, and then it goes on, but and I don't even remember all of it, but praise the Lord, really. And really, all creation needs to praise the Lord, and they do that in their own way, don't they? Whether it's the rocks, or the birds, or the bullfrog, in their own way, they praise the Lord. We look at verse 13 there. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and the heaven. And so we need to be praising the Lord, and especially we as humans who are created in the image of God. We need to be praising the Lord with our mouths. But all too often, what does humanity do? They don't praise the Lord. They want to praise themselves. They want to give praise to something or someone else. We come to Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. We don't go to Jeremiah all that often, but it's a major prophet. It's right before Ezekiel, and a few books after Psalms there. We come to Jeremiah chapter 10. And here Jeremiah is speaking out against the foolishness and the futility of the heathen nations, those who worship the idols. And instead, Jeremiah praises the greatness and the glory of the Lord. We look at verse 3 of Jeremiah chapter 10. For the customs of the peoples are futile. For one cuts a tree from the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers so that it will not topple. They are upright like a palm tree, and they cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot go by themselves. Do not be afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, nor can they do any good. Inasmuch as there is none like you, O Lord, you are great and your name is great in might. Who would not fear you, O King of the nations? For this is your rightful due. For among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. But they are altogether dull-hearted and foolish. A wooden idol is a worthless doctrine. Silver is beaten into plates. It is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz, the work of the craftsman and of his hands and of the hands of the metalsmith. Blue and purple are their clothing. They are all the work of skillful men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At His wrath the earth will tremble, and the nations will not be able to endure His indignation. Thus you shall say to them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He has made the earth by His power. He has established the world by His wisdom and has stretched out the heavens at His discretion. When He utters His voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens. And when he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth and makes lightning for the rain, He brings the wind out of His treasuries. And so it's not the idols, the false gods, that have done anything. They don't have the power to move themselves around, let alone to create all of the things that we see here in this world and in this universe. It's not these false idols that deserve any glory at all. They don't even deserve any fear, because they can do nothing, whether good or evil. Those idols are really a part of the creation. They were made out of, whether it be the gold or the silver or the trees. They are powerless to do anything. It is the Lord and Him alone who is the true God. He is the living God. He is the one who creates. He is the one who will destroy. And we recognize, even as we look at the power of His strength demonstrated in tornadoes and hurricanes and lightning, and while we think, well, those things do create damage, yet God's power is displayed in a majestic way and in a powerful way. And God can receive glory and praise through all of those things because they do His bidding. But yet fallen man, what do? They turn to the creation and they worship it instead of the Creator. And they fail to recognize that there's greatness in this creation only because it is a great God who has made them. God put the sun in the sky for us, not to worship, but to recognize that God is good to us, and that He has power, and that He is glorious. But all too often, men and women, they have looked at that sun, and they have worshipped it. We even go to Ezekiel chapter 8. Ezekiel in chapter 8. But what a sad commentary that people look upon the creation, something that gives glory to His name, and instead of giving glory to the Creator, they give glory to the created. We go to Ezekiel chapter 8, and sad to say, it's not just the heathens who fall down and worship false gods and who worship the sun. Even God's own people, the people of Israel, fell down and worshipped the God, the God that is the sun, a little g. They worshipped the sun, the false God, instead of the true God. We go to Ezekiel chapter 8, in verses 15 through 18. And it says, "Then he said to me, 'Have you seen this, O son of man? Turn again, you will see greater abominations than these.' So he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and there at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they were worshiping the sun toward the east. And he said to me, 'Have you seen this, O son of man? Is it a trivial thing to the house of Judah to commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence. Then they have returned to me, or they have returned to provoke me to anger. Indeed, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore, I also will act in fury. My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, I will not hear them.'" And what a tragedy it is to see humanity going to the creation, looking at the sun and worshiping it, instead of Almighty God the Creator. What a sad commentary. But yet, fallen humanity, that is what they naturally do. We look at Romans chapter 1, a familiar passage to us. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. And here Paul tells us, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. And so we look at today's society, and no wonder there's people that practice pantheism, where they think that everything is God. Because natural fallen man, they look at the creation of God, and instead of realizing there is a creator behind that, instead they forsake God, they forsake His revelation, and they turn to the creation, and they make creation a god unto itself. And they make images and idols and worship them instead of the creator. What a sad commentary. The depravity and the fallenness of mankind. But praise the Lord, it doesn't end there. Praise the Lord that even though we used to be dead in our trespasses and sins, the Lord has had mercy on us. And He has saved us from the foolishness and the blindness and the bondage that we had in sin. We can praise the Lord that He's opened our eyes. And since our eyes have been opened, we can praise the Lord with every part of our being. And we can praise the Lord when we see His creation. We can give Him the glory because we recognize, we truly recognize, and we give Him the due honor because we know, God, You've created all these things ultimately for Your glory, for Your enjoyment, and so that we also may enjoy them and benefit from them. We must thank God for all that He's done in our lives, whether it be the creation, whether it's the things throughout history, most of all for our own salvation and His work in our lives. And so I want to encourage you this evening, don't get caught up with all the hubbub in life. Okay, it's easy to get caught in the rat race. It's easy just to go and not recognize all of the beauty of creation around us. So I want to encourage you this evening, take time to smell the roses. I want to encourage you, stop your busyness sometimes and look up at the clouds. The beautiful clouds. Have you ever looked at the clouds on a summer's day? I know as children we often do that. We try to see, you know, the animals there that we can see in the clouds or whatever. How often have we done that as an adult? Okay, it seems like we lose the wonder of God's creation as we grow older and as we become distracted by all these other things. And there are other things that have to take our attention, but don't lose the wonder of God's creation. Take time out. Stand in awe of the beauty that surrounds us. Don't just admire the creation for what it is in and of itself. We need to admire the creation because it is a great God who has created it and who has given it to us. We must give Him the glory and the honor and the praise. And so this summer, yes, have the barbecues, have the picnics, the nights out in the ballparks. Soak in that green grass. Just enjoy it. Enjoy the blue sky. Enjoy the yellow flowers. Maybe pick one and look at it closely. Have you ever looked at a flower closely? And just the intricacy of it and just the wonder of it? It is God who made that with His fingers. Let your heart be overflowing with words of praise and thanksgiving to our gracious Heavenly Father. There's a very familiar hymn that says, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds Thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, Thy power throughout the universe displayed. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art. And when I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. We truly serve a great God. And we can see it all around us, whether it's the creation, whether it's you and I. We can see God's hands and His fingers at work, the result of His work. But ultimately, we must thank God for our own salvation. We must thank God for Jesus Christ. And yes, we must give him the glory and the praise and thank him ever for all that he's done for us. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the beauty of your creation. We thank you for how you have worked in such a wondrous way in this world. And truly, your creation is beautiful. It is the works of your fingers. It is the breath of your mouth. And truly, yes, this universe is so vast, and it is really beyond our comprehension how great and how wonderful it is. But I pray even as we stand in awe of it, that we turn to you and give you the praise, that we'd praise you at all times and give you the glory, because you are a great God. But I thank you that even in all your greatness, you have chosen to look down upon us as wretched sinners, and you have chosen to send your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And we thank you that Jesus, in dying for us and rising again from the dead, not only provides redemption for us as humans, but he also provides redemption for the creation. And that one day creation will be restored to its Edenic glory. And so we do thank you for the wonder of who you are. We do praise you and give you thanks. And help us every day to stand in awe of your creation, to stand in awe of you, and that we'd give you the praise and the thanksgiving. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's close tonight with the number 4 then. How great thou art. When we stand together, we'll sing just the first verse before Pastor will come and close us in prayer.
Recognize creation for what it is. And it truly is beautiful. And I hope you spend time out in the beauty of God's creation. We don't just adore creation in and of itself. Adore the Creator who gave to us His creation. We serve a great God. Let us never minimize our God. Let us never put Him in a little box. Because He is so great and so powerful. But yet He is so loving, and He cares about me, and He cares about you. He's not a God just way out there. No, He is a God that is down here with us, and He wants to do great things in our lives. Are you willing to let God do a work in your life? First of all, are you willing to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior? And once you believe in Him, are you willing to live for Him day in and day out? How great thou art.
Let's sing that last verse then. Since we have trusted Him, we can look forward to when He comes. You close in prayer tonight.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful study in your word and the challenge to give you all adoration in all things in our lives. everything is particularly acceptable to us or not. Lord, grant us the grace to honor your sovereignty in our lives. Thank you for this message from God's Word and the pastors labor in this matter of creation and honoring you. May we truly go away refreshed. Lord, we are. If there are those here that are not saved, may they realize their need for Christ. Come to Him as their personal Savior. So Lord, continue to work in our lives, in this church, in our ministry as a whole, and individually. Thank you for a great day in your house.